The djinn.
Well, what we will refer to as the djinn.
And what happened was that he came home one night, went into his bedroom, and suddenly these three dark, shadowy figures materialized through his wall into his bedroom. They were wearing the hats and the overcoats.
I'd like to report a UFO.
There's enough going on in the skies, but not just the skies, underwater, that
travel at insane speeds and go undetected.
In a way, I refer to them as the djinn, because the djinn, you know, in Arab culture, you know, they're sort of like us, only they're made out of quote-unquote fire. Or
UFOs are real. We have proof. The United States military has been studying them.
She's just in a plane and filming out the window. And they had seen this thing, apparently, and she's trying to film it, and it shoots by the plane.
We have a very exciting episode for you. For those that have watched the recent, not too long ago, episode with Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson.
Deeper level is what are, okay, so if they're spiritual beings, which I believe they are.
Speaking about the supernatural, the unseen world of, many call it the UFOs, unidentified flying object, aliens. I have a person here who, with a team, not just by himself, but with a team, has committed to doing research and investigating this world that Tucker was speaking about with Joe Rogan. Books such as Passport to Magonia, Dimensions. And then we have those creatures that they didn't identify. We're going to be identifying them here today with my next guest, who's written an essay called The Djinn Hypothesis.
A very good friend of mine, Brother Eddie from The Djinn Show, who I've known for a number of years, from the very beginning when he started it. I was among his early guests. And mashallah, our brother Eddie has been very active in promoting da'wah, spreading the message of Islam, and he has now taken everything to the next level. Eddie has now, after a number of years on The Djinn Show, taken the da'wah efforts to the next level, which is that of establishing a da'wah center for the USA. He is about to launch it in its fullness, but it has already started in Florida, and he needs your support. This is an effort which began already some months back, and they need your support for spreading the message of Islam in the USA. So my brothers and sisters, reach out to support him. We need your support now.
Imran Hussein, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Eddie. How are you doing?
How are you? Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, very good, bro. Jazakallah khair.
You watched this episode not too long ago where you had Joe Rogan along with Tucker Carlson, and they're describing, did you notice, they're describing some creatures.
Are they good or bad? And I think some of them are bad.
Yeah. But they didn't give it a name.
Yeah.
What is it, actually? I mean, now is sort of the point you have to ask, like, what is this?
What did you think about that interview?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Tucker Carlson's approach from a Christian approach, which is to call it demons and angels, or the supernatural, as he's clearly blatantly referring to it as, it was very interesting. Because up until now, when you hear about the UFO topic or the UFO phenomenon, at least on the media and the TV, which has become very popular, you know, the government's been coming out with stuff, there's been congressional hearings, which we could talk about, you know, and all of this is happening. So it's interesting to see, because they, the angle they're taking is most likely it's beings from other planets, extraterrestrials, aliens. Now, you know, Islamically, sure, there's that possibility. You know, the Quran doesn't directly speak about alien life, but there are ayat or verses in the Quran which allude to life being out there in the universe. So it acknowledges the possibility. There is that scope within Islam to acknowledge the existence of alien life. So that's not a problem. However, when you look at what we know, what we're witnessing as far as this phenomenon is concerned, and what's been discussed, and what the whistleblowers have said, and what the government's coming out with, and what people have been experiencing over the centuries, as captured in these books by Jacques Vallée, you see that when you look at the aspects of the phenomenon, you see, well, it seems like it's something else. It seems like it's probably what we refer to as the djinn.
Now, we're not talking about Ghostbusters here, right?
Ghosts.
Hello, Ghostbusters.
They are here. Ghostbusters.
Hey, Mr. Ghost!
They catch the ghost that won't stay dead.
because people will think they'll put you in a category like of Ghostbusters, yeah. right? Oh, you've been watching too much of these movies.
Yes.
But what was fascinating about that interview is Tucker is actually, he's talking about what governments have put out there, unclassified now, yeah. that was classified. And you actually have seen, and then whistleblowers yeah. who work for government agencies.
Yes.
So they're documenting these things. And now you're researching this also, and this is not something now that is connected to Ghostbusters.
No, this it's is, not these people are with tinfoil hats yeah. sitting somewhere in the desert talking uh-huh. about this stuff. I mean, the government's acknowledging it. There's congressional hearings on
congressional
this.
Congressional hearings.
Serious hearings, yep.
Hearings that they're having people, what, testify?
Yeah, in absolutely.
Under oath?
Yep, yep. We had one recently. We had David Grush. Yeah. Who was one of the recent whistleblowers to come out. Prior to him, Lou Elizondo, who hasn't been in a congressional hearing yet, but he was one of the first whistleblowers to come out. His book is coming out in the next couple of days on the topic, on the subject, which is going to be interesting. Then there was David Fravor, a captain of one of the fighter jets in America, who basically had an encounter himself and described that, and he testified to what he saw under oath. So we had a serious congressional hearing. You have serious academics, Jacques Vallée, you know, he's probably the most well-respected guy in ufology.
Dr.
Jacques Vallée, yeah.
So what do they name these creatures as? Aliens? What do they...
Yeah, so it's interesting because with Vallée, when you look at his research and you study his work, you see, well, he doesn't favor the ET hypothesis. He doesn't reckon after all of his
That's
years of research...
That's another one, ET, right?
Extraterrestrial, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a film, so you got Ghostbusters film, and ET, yeah. so yeah. they think, oh, that's just a
Classics.
Category, yeah.
Yeah, classic films, I mean. It's good films, yeah. but this is not what we're talking
we're
about.
We're not yet. Talking about that.
No, right? we're not talking about Hollywood. We're talking yeah. about the real deal.
That's Hollywood.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So this is real. I mean, this stuff's been at least researched in a very
what,
real way.
What is this one about?
Passport to Magoni. This is one of his first books, Dr. Jacques Vallée. Yeah. And here he sort of outlines...
Who is Jacques Vallée? Who is he?
Jacques Vallée was a computer scientist. It goes way back, you know, 40 years he's been researching the subject. He's a PhD, as far as I know, a doctor. Like I said, the most well-respected ufologist.
Is he coming from a religious background?
No, a very sort of secular, empirical perspective.
He's a scientist.
Yeah, yeah. Computer scientist, you know, yeah. so he's looking at this in a very objective way.
What triggered him to look into this?
I think it was a fascination for him. It was an interest to him, you mm-hmm. know. So he looked at it, he studied it, 40 plus years, I think, and his conclusion is, ultimately, he doesn't reckon it's extraterrestrials or aliens from another planet. He's not a Muslim. He's definitely looked into some Islamic sources, definitely looked into Christian sources, and what the Christian tradition has to say about angels and demons. He mentions the jinn. In the introduction of his book, Dimensions.
He mentions the word jinn.
Yes,
now we're
does.
Identifying what these creatures are.
Yeah.
Jinn, the yeah. jinn. And this is mentioned in the Quran.
Yes.
And detail in the Islamic sources. So yeah. he mentions that in his
he
book.
Mentions it from his yeah. research there. And you can tell he's done his research because he's looked at the Islamic tradition, at least to some extent.
Yeah.
And he, you know, brings the idea of jinn into this whole phenomenon. You know,
but it's interesting, Tucker Carlson, he doesn't mention the jinn.
Yeah, I'm
but
not surprised.
Seen, he's yeah. sat with a lot of different people who are experts. Why are you surprised?
Well, because he's coming from a Christian perspective, one. Yeah. Secondly, he's obviously well-connected. And he's getting information from the inside, from people.
Do you think he heard this term, Jim, before he's listening and watching us?
I believe so. I yeah. believe he has. I believe people like Jim Simivan, for example, who was an ex-CIA agent, he's got videos online. And he clearly, you know, unequivocally says that he reckons this phenomenon is related to the jinn. And this is a non-Muslim
okay,
ex-CIA
agent.
Okay, so
this is agent. A non-Muslim ex-CIA agent.
Yeah.
There's video of him. He's saying this is the jinn.
I think in a way, I refer to them as the jinn because the jinn, you know, in Arab culture, you know, they're sort of like us, only they're made out of quote-unquote fire.
He says he
so,
thinks
so he's
jinn.
Done his research.
Yeah.
And now he's looked into the Islamic sources. And that's what we did with the program that we did. We yeah. had a qualified jinn expert, someone who's done
yes.
series on the jinn. And then we're listening to Tucker Carlson explain and describe what this is, and then he says, no, this is the jinn. He's yeah. talking about the jinn.
Yeah, and what's interesting, it is, Jim's Simivan, I reckon the reason he started to research into the jinn was because of the experiences he himself had. He hasn't come out openly with his full experiences, but he had experiences. He had something attached to him that also affected his family in a negative way. Now, this concept of attachments or possession is there amongst the jinn too. We know this. This is one of the main things we know about when we think about the term jinn or the concept of jinn is attachments and possession. Now, here we have a non-Muslim ex-CIA agent who has engaged, who's interacted with this phenomenon and say has said that he has this type of attachment experience with this phenomenon. There's a place in Utah, for example, it's a very famous place now, Skinwalker Ranch. There's a whole History Channel documentary on it now as well, and there's different seasons. they have spoken about the attachment phenomenon, that when people go, the military officials have gone onto the ranch and they've left with what they called an attachment, something that's affected them afterwards, gone home with them, affected the family members and so on and so forth.
What ranch?
It's called the Skinwalker Ranch.
What is this place?
It's basically a ranch in Utah, in America.
Yeah.
And it's apparently a hotspot for UFO and paranormal activity.
For the djinn?
What we'll refer to as the djinn, yes.
It's a hotspot for the djinn?
Yes. I'm convinced it is, right? Because, the phenomenon people have witnessed there, the previous owners, current owners, etc. I mean, it's very, for example, creatures like dogs, you know, huge dogs appearing and walking, dogs being shot at with massive guns and nothing happening to them, and then just suddenly the tracks disappearing in thin air. Weird stuff, you know, cows, or the cattle on the ranches just going crazy, being stacked on top of each other in a little shed and no one knows how they got in there. Weird, strange things.
They're
like
documenting this.
Yeah. Yeah, they call it the trickster element of the phenomenon. You know, they say this phenomenon has this trickster element. It plays tricks on you.
Wow.
And we know the djinn play games with humans. They lie to people, deceive people. And deception is another thing Jacques Vallée mentions in his research, that this phenomenon deceives people. You know, prior to, for example, I think the 40s, you know, these beings, when they would abduct people, they would tell them we're from Mars and stuff. And then later on, as people researched this and knew life didn't exist on Mars, then they started to change their story. Oh, we're from this planetary system, or we're from here or there. You know, so there's deception involved in this whole phenomenon.
Now, it's one thing us talking about it, we know it, but then again, pointing back to Tucker Carlson and then him giving the evidence, and then he said, Tucker, that this is one of the biggest tricks that they played on the American public is to convince people that these are aliens.
Yes.
When they're from other planet, they're not. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, if we get that cover, bro, that book, that Magoni, Passport to Magoni, this one. I mean, the cover's quite telling as well, right? If you look at this cover, you've got this being, and he has these different masks.
Yes.
Right? And I think it's very interesting, symbolically at least, because what it shows is that even Vallée reckons that this is the same phenomenon that's been appearing to people throughout the centuries, but taking on different guises or different appearances. Now, why would it choose to appear, say the djinn, why would they choose to appear to people today in the 21st century as aliens from other planets? It's a very interesting question to ask. Well, one potential answer is, think about the psyche of the 21st century man. It's very secular, very atheistic, very technological, right? So if you want to appear to people today and get people to submit to you, you need to appear as a race that's far superior to the human beings. You need to appear in a way that will be more readily accepted. And like we were saying earlier, you know, the concept of ET, extraterrestrial life, is more acceptable than to believe in spiritual or supernatural beings these days. And again, when you look at, for example, some of these, one of the pilots that testified under oath, not David Grush, Fravor, Commander Fravor, you know, these things, these objects that they're seeing are running circles around the best technology America has.
Wow.
Right? So, I mean, when you run circles around the best technology on this planet, what state is that going to leave you in? You're going to be in awe. You're going to be like, wow, these beings, whatever they are, they're superior to us. So it creates this sense of submission. And we know the djinn throughout history, if you look at Arabic literature as well, that djinn have appeared to humans throughout history in the form of gods and higher deities and higher beings so that they would fall into worship to them. You know, and then this all goes back to the origin stories, bro. You know, when Shaitan wanted to misguide the progeny of Adam, right? Because he felt he was superior to Adam. I am better than him, as he says in the Quran, as Allah captures. You know, it's almost like this phenomenon continues to show this symbolically, I am better than you. And what better way to sort of make the 21st century man submit to you than to appear in a, you know, highly technological, civilizational form that's better than human beings, you know. Maybe that's one answer, you know, but I think it's very interesting because if you look at Vallée's work going back in history, these phenomena took on different appearances according to the time and place and appeared slightly more advanced than the technology of the time.
Now, it's not just you doing this research, you got a team.
Yeah,
with
Brother
you.
Farouk McDermott, he's a mashallah revert brother, studied at Medina. He has studied this far longer than I have as well. He's studied this over maybe 2 decades.
So what are you guys now you're having discussions around the round table with your team talking about this unseen world of the djinn. Like, what are you coming away with? I can imagine the conversations.
Yeah, so when we first started interacting, one of the first things we asked or discussed was, well, do we want to bring this out to the public or online? Do we want to speak about this? Is there any benefit in the da'wah for the subject. And initially, we didn't feel it was the right time. But now that there's been congressional hearings, that there's been whistleblowers, that there's serious academics studying this, Dr. D.W. Pasulka is another religious studies professor who studied this. A decade or so back, you had a professor from Harvard who was the head of psychiatry, who did a whole book called Abductions, on the abduction phenomenon. You have a recent paper that's been published on ResearchGate by three academics, two from Harvard as well, who are talking about this whole phenomenon. And they actually entertained in their paper the crypto-terrestrial hypothesis. Mm-hmm. And one of those categories, again, mentioned the jinn. Interesting that these are non-Muslims that are looking at the phenomenon, studying it, and they are seeing parallels. You know, so we thought now is the time to speak about this, because if Christians are speaking about this, Tucker Carlson's coming out giving the Christian perspective on this. As Muslims, we have the answers, you know. And if you look at the phenomenon and you look at the jinn and you put them side by side and you compare them, you see that there are some striking similarities. There's hardly any differences. I am yet to come across something that cannot be explained via the jinn hypothesis. So in the essay that I wrote, it's an introductory essay. Mm-hmm. I cover sort of five key areas of comparison between the jinn and the UFO phenomenon, and to see the parallels between them. And they're quite a bit evident. I mean, like you guys were discussing on the previous show, mashallah, it's evidence right there in front of you. You can see the links.
Tell me, when you look into some of these hearings and you're watching the in front of Congress, is it? They're testifying.
Yeah.
You know, what are some stories that stuck out that are just mind-blowing? You talk about this attachment and going to this area.
Yeah, so they don't mention the attachment in the congressional hearings. It was very specific to do with what they had heard from inside sources and what had, if they had, you know, there's claim that they had crashed craft and all of this type of stuff, right? Now, one thing to mention is just because Congress or the US government is speaking about this, that's not the reason we're speaking about it.
Yes.
That's not the primary reason. The reason is, well, this has been happening throughout history. When you study the literature on this, every culture, every civilization has spoken about beings, these supernatural beings who are not divine, but they're somewhere in the middle between man and God, and that they have, you know, affected people and human beings. So this phenomenon has been expected or experienced cross-culturally, you know, throughout the generations. So this is not something new. And especially when we saw the interest in this subject by the non-Muslim community out there, you know, who have not only heard this online or on the media, but have had experiences themselves. Many people have had these experiences. They don't believe in God, but they have these experiences. You know, it's an opportunity for us to show them what Islam has to say, and for them to therefore hopefully come closer to Islam and discover the truth of Islam.
Do you feel, because you mentioned some books, these other books here, these are now books from Muslim authors. If somebody's out there and they're fat, because so many people, I forgot what was the exact number, but it was like a very high percentage, 50 or more percent, that you have Americans who believe in life on another planet and in aliens, basically. So there's a fascination with this topic. I mean, you have this Dr. Abu Amina Bilal Phillips.
Yes, this is a translation of Ibn Taymiyyah's essays on the jinn. And this is a phenomenal book to read, by the way, because
if you're
a non-Muslim, and for Muslims as well, especially, because what this does is it broadens your horizons of what the jinn are. Because when we think about jinnity, what comes to mind? We think of possession, we think of fear. That's pretty much it. But when you realize that the jinn could take on different forms, that they can, you know, they could travel in different ways, they can manifest in different ways, affect people in different ways. When you learn about the world of the jinn, which is this book,
World of the Jinn and the Devils.
Yes, and by the way, the Sheikh in this book, he dedicates 4 pages to the link between jinn and UFOs in that book.
And how does he make that link?
He just says, he according to his research of the UFO phenomenon, that he thinks it's the jinn.
It's the jinn. Okay, so he's saying...
So it's not something I'm coming up with, or Brother Farouk, or just some...
So it's not UFO, it's the jinn, but the UFO phenomenon is now what they're attributing it to, unidentified flying. It's unidentified, but we're identifying it now as the jinn.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And now, there may be questions people have, well, these are craft flying through the air, you know, how are they...
How do you explain
exactly
that?
So these are what I call the loose ends, right? Yeah. Or the supposed loose ends. Now, the first thing to understand is that it's not just craft flying through the air when we talk about the UFO phenomenon. Some of the stuff we discussed, like the attachment stuff, the deception stuff, the abduction stuff, there's a lot more to it, right? Now, when it comes to craft flying through the air, there's some ways you can explain this. One, jinn could have their own technology, right? And I know it's going to sound crazy, but we know Allah refers to them in the Quran as builders and divers. Mm-hmm. And Allah's specifically referring to the jinn here as builders and divers. Now that's interesting. If they're builders, then they build things. We know they were built things for Sulaiman alayhi salam. you know, in the past. So they can build things. If you look at the historical records, the Arab records, you see the stories of the jinn making things. So for example, there's a very good book called The Intelligent World of the Jinn. It's an academic piece, but what's very interesting, the author mentions a story in there that the jinn would make swords, but they were not like human swords. They were far better than human swords, and they had special powers, and they could do certain things, etc. So this was an interesting example because it shows, once again, jinn trying to outdo the technology of human beings and succeeding in that. So if they can outdo the technology of human beings as far as swords are concerned in history, well, now we have fighter jets. So they could just make these quote-unquote UFOs, these craft that can outmaneuver and outdo the best technology as far as fighter technology is concerned today. And it's possible for them because they are builders. They can build things. You know, we have examples of this. So it could be possible that these craft are just crafts that the jinn have built and that they are controlling somehow. Again, the rest of it's speculation. Allah knows best how that works. But it's a possibility. It's not that it's an impossibility. Secondly, we know that sometimes there's accounts of these craft appearing and just suddenly dematerializing and disappearing. A lot of times people don't see material craft. They see balls of light, orbs, you know, floating through the air. So these could just be jinn themselves, just taking on different forms, inanimate forms, for example. You know, again, is that maybe that's a possibility? Just like they can be take on forms of human beings or animals, they could potentially take on the forms of inanimate things. Mm-hmm. Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned some examples in his books as well of certain Sufi sheikhs appearing to their disciples in the middle of nowhere and helping them out and then disappearing. You know, jinn speaking through birds. You know, and all of these. So they can do. There's all of these stories about them. So I guess those are two ways of to sort of square that circle, if you like.
And just a couple more questions. He mentioned in this interview that he describes them in the ocean, in the air, traveling at such fast speeds. When we connect that to the Islamic sources, what we have, does that connect?
100%. Two narrations come to mind. So in the Quran, there's the verse I just mentioned, which is that Allah refers to them as builders and divers, right? So the divers is a certain attribute that's ascribed to them, the link to the water. Yeah. We know there are narrations where the throne of shaitan is over the water.
I thought about that, yeah.
So there's that's another link. You know, there's something else is coming to mind, it's just gone now. But there are several links like this.
So when you watched that interview, were you just like now and your team and you wrote this essay, The Jinn Hypothesis, you've been studying this for years. When you watched this interview with Tucker Carlson, were you like at the end, just like this jinn expert I had on?
Yes.
Who made the series, did you say, this is the jinn?
100%.
Not 99, 100%.
I am currently... And I'm open to changing my mind if I have other evidence. So for me, what will change my belief on this is if I could see something about the phenomenon, the UFO phenomenon, which cannot be explained via the jinn. Mm-hmm. And currently, I haven't come across anything.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore, for me, that hypothesis holds. Right. And although, like I said, Islamically, sure, there's a possibility we can accept that there's extraterrestrial life. But I think if you look at what's going on, this is the best explanation.
I think me as a layman in the topic, just from what I know, identified it as a jinn. Yeah. And I think most Muslims
100%.
who also know Islam and the little that we know, we identify this as the jinn. It's not hard to connect.
No, not at all. And the narration, sorry, that it's just come to mind where the Prophet ﷺ said that the jinn are of three kinds. You know, those that appear as dogs and snakes, meaning take on physical forms. Yes. Those that fly through the air.
Yes.
That and was those that come and go. So fly through the air. I mean, what are UAP and UFOs doing? Yeah. They're flying through the air at fast, rapid speeds.
Yeah.
You know, we know the story of the throne when Sulaiman al-Islam asked for the throne to be bought. And the Kareen, you know, the jinn brought it within the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So they have certain abilities and capabilities that we don't have, that we're seeing being displayed by these UFOs today.
All right, so as we conclude now, two messages now for, we'll start with the not yet Muslims and non-Muslims, then we'll come to the Muslims, what I was thinking, and tell me for them now, can you see this as a way for them now, okay, reading these books and coming closer to even, what advice would you give them to look into not just this, but Islam? Because, all right, we have other descriptions of unseen things. If Islam is right on so many things, you know, the development, you know, when we have the human embryo, for instance, you know, the mountains acting as stabilizers, and there are other things that are there in the Quran that it's unfathomable that you have a man who cannot read or write, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. He's just coming up and guessing all of these things.
It's not really a guess,
right? It's not guessing. It's too much. Then you have the hellfire paradise. But over here now we have this for the alien lovers and whatnot. Yeah. So now he's talking about this unseen world of the jinn. But then we have the unseen world of the hellfire that's coming, paradise, that should be even taken more serious.
Yeah.
So connecting it all, what advice would you give for
him? Yeah, I mean, two pieces of advice. One I would say is read the Quran and see what the Quran says about the jinn. There's an entire chapter dedicated to the jinn. Beyond that chapter, Allah, God, addresses the jinn throughout the Quran. Surah Rahman, for example. Yeah. Men and jinn are both addressed. Mm-hmm. Their purpose is the same as ours, which is to worship God. So, well, that's what we were created. Whether we do this or not, that's a different question. So read the Quran and see what the Quran says about the jinn. The second thing I would say is, and I know there's many people out there that have experiences, phenomenal experiences with certain beings or creatures or weird paranormal experiences, right? I would say do little experiments for yourself. Play the Quran in your house. Because we know playing the Quran, especially the second chapter of the Quran, Al-Baqarah, is profound. It has a powerful effect. When people do ruqya, which is the removal of jinn from a person that's attached to a person, it's reciting Quran upon them. Do a little experiment. If you're having issues with this stuff, you're experiencing this stuff, play the Quran in your house.
Play the Quran.
And see what impact. Yeah, so do that physical experiment for yourself.
You can find it online, the Quran. Absolutely. Just type in Quran on YouTube. Yeah,
100%. Try it. Play it and see if that makes a difference in your life. See if the activity cuts down and disappears. You know, that would be proof for yourself, right? Right, staring you right in the face, you know? So that's what I would advise non-Muslims to do. And at the very least, even if you don't believe in God, when you read the Quran, you'll find a very powerful angle to this whole topic, you know? Because, look, scientists are starting to research this now, look into this, and they're scratching their head and they don't know what's going on. Yeah, because we know there are maybe elements they could study, but there are certain aspects of this phenomenon which are beyond the physical. They're not going to be able to understand it completely. So you have to take a multidisciplinary approach to the subject. You know, you have to look at the science, you have to look at the philosophy, you have to look at, you know, anthropology, you have to look at religion as well. You know, don't just dismiss religion. Look at what religion has to say and look at what Islam has to say in specific, particular. So that's for the non-Muslims. That's what I would say. Look into Islam.
And now closing for the Muslims. Now you have the Quran, the Sunnah. I can't imagine now. And you have so many. This is another thing that just mind-blowing. Along with the living miracle, the Quran. Then you study the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Yes. And then you have, let's say, a book like Fortress of the Muslim.
Yes.
And you have so many what we call supplications, du'a, for protection against attachment, possession, right?
100%.
To be protected, your ethqad, right? So what would you say to the Muslims to take this more serious?
Yeah, so a few pieces of advice for the Muslims, because I know sometimes we have the tendency of going down these rabbit holes with these subjects and topics, right? So I wouldn't recommend anyone to do too much of a deep dive into this topic. The reason we're discussing this and sharing this is because it's public now. Yeah. Everyone's talking about this. We need to show them what Islam has to say in regards to this topic, right? Or at least one perspective. So don't go too far down this rabbit hole, right? It's not going to benefit you too much in any way. Secondly, yes, you have to protect yourself because shaitan is there. Waswasa is always there, right? He's continuously affecting us. We have a kareen that's attached to us, you know? That's attached to us from the very beginning. Every single one of us has that. That wants to misguide us and take us away from the straight path. So we have to protect ourselves through adhkar, like you mentioned. Get the fortress of the Muslim. Read Ayatul Kursi. You know, recite that regularly, especially when you sleep at night. The quls, three quls, recite those. Protect yourself, because you don't even realize how much we're being affected by shaitan on a daily, hourly basis, every single day. You know, so it's important to protect ourselves from this perspective. And thirdly, third thing I'll say is, if and when quote-unquote disclosure happens, say the government comes out and says, yes, you know, there's life out there. I want Muslims to know, look, because, you know, there's some people throwing this thing out there. Oh, what is this going to mean for world religions if alien life is discovered or these other beings are discovered? Is it going to crumble people's faith? Well, not for Islam, not for Muslims. Because we not only have one explanation, we have two explanations. We have the jinn explanation as a potential explanation. And yes, Islam allows for the concept of beings on other planets that Allah has created. Allah has created and scattered throughout the heavens and the earth. So either way, whatever they say, you know, whether they say it's aliens or they say it's another being that's been living here, we have an explanation. We don't need to worry. It shouldn't shake anyone's faith in any way, shape or form. You know, it's if anything, it's profound that Islam has the answers, even to this mystery that we're facing today.
Absolutely. And where can people read this essay that you've done on the jinn?
Yeah, so this is on the Sapiens Institute website. If you just type in Sapiens Institute jinn hypotheses on Google, it should come up. But or you can go to the sapiensinstitute.org website and you can read the essay there. So that's probably the best source that's currently there. But we have also a website that we've started, irep.world. Mm-hmm. So IREP, Islamic Research into Exotic Phenomena, .world. So that's just a startup right now. We're just trying to put something out there for people, Muslims and non-Muslims, that have had experiences that can't contextualize them, where they can come and learn about Islam and hopefully find answers as well, inshallah.
Isn't that what that remind me, that lovely brother, Sapiens, Hamza Zorsis.
Hamza Zorsis, yes.
Give him my love, my salam.
Yeah, yeah, mashallah. Yeah. He misses you, bro.
I miss him too. Yes.
Mashallah. I'll definitely give him your salams, bro.
All right, Jazakallah. Thank you for sharing that with us.
May Allah bless you. Islam.
You too. Alaykum as-salam.